we'll begin reading in verse number 23, and we'll go through chapter number 3, verse number 8. And I want to preach a little title this morning, On the Backside of the Desert. On the backside. It's one thing being in the desert, but it's something totally different being in the backside of the desert. And this morning, I want you to look at this as we read this and understand the backside of the desert. I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word this morning. Exodus chapter number 2 and verse number 23. I do want to say this before I get started. I thank God for my wife. I thank God for my wife. I have made a lot of stupid mistakes in my life, but she's guarded me from a whole lot more. Thank God for a godly wife. Amen. The Bible says in verse number 23, verse 23. And it became... won't need these in heaven. And it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died. The children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. Maybe he's calling you this morning. Will you say, Here am I? And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good land and a large and unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Our Father and our God, as we bow in your presence, I thank you this morning for the anointing and the move of the Holy Spirit already in this place. Lord, I thank you this morning that you already are in the house. I thank you that when we come to church this morning, we brought you with us, Father. Lord God, a child of God, you don't leave us. You go with us. Father God, you go before us. You go behind us. You go to the right and you go to the left. Lord, no matter if we're out in the desert, you're with us. It don't matter where we make our bed, you're with us, Father. And I thank you for that. Lord, I pray this morning that you guard my throat and guard my thoughts and let it be all about you and nothing about me. Lord, this morning I thank you that when we're out in the backside of the desert, you don't leave us, but you come to us right there. Lord, I pray this morning, whatever mama, whatever daddy, whatever child this morning thinks that they're in the backside of the desert and nobody knows, I pray they know this morning that God knows. You know exactly where we're at. You know that Union Chapel Baptist Church needs revival. And Lord God, I thank you that you put it on the schedule down here. But I thank you that you put it on the schedule in heaven. Lord, I've seen that everything's trying to come against it. But there's one thing I know this morning. When you've called it, it'll come through. And Lord, this morning I claim victory in the name of Jesus. I claim that Brother Ricky Wolf's going to have a successful trip down here. He's going to preach the word. And Father, we're going to respond to what's been said. We're going to take it and put it in our heart. Thy word I've hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. Lord, this morning I pray you just Watch over these folks. I pray my mouth be clear. What I say be clear to them and they understand it and they hear it the way you gave it to me. And Lord, when the lights are cut off, I pray it's recorded in heaven that we allowed your will to be done here in this place. Have your will and way in Jesus' most holy, precious name. All of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated this morning on the backside of the desert. The children of Israel, when we get here, we understand that they cried out to God. They were wanting Him to deliver them out of the bondage of Egypt. They had done come to this place, and you know what had done happened in chapter number 2. Nothing different than in the United States of America. They were committing abortion here. They were killing all the little baby boys. They were killing them all off, and they wanted them all dead, and they didn't want them alive. They wanted them all dead. Friends, can I say to you this morning that abortion's wrong? Hey, it ain't right. That's a living soul inside that individual this morning. And hey, you never know what God's going to do when somebody gets pregnant. Can I get an amen? He says this morning, though, when we come here, that they had got tired of that. They got tired of Pharaoh, and they wanted out of that, and they got crying out to God, and they started telling God, God, I need help. We need help. We need delivered. We need out of here. Have you ever been there in your life? You say, Lord God, hey, the world we living in, it ain't going right. Can I say this morning, heaven's going right? Can I say this morning that heaven's doing right this morning? Can I say this morning that a child of God this morning, that's in the will of God, you're going the right way? Hey, you're doing what God's called you to do? Hey, when they got here, though, in verse number 23 of chapter number 2, they said, hey, they cried unto God, and they said, we got to get out of this place. We can't keep living this way. And you know who he done protected through all of killing them little baby boys? Hey, was one by the name of Moses. Hey, he took old Moses and he protected him. Hey, when old Pharaoh wanted to kill him, you know what he did? He sent him to Pharaoh's house. Let Pharaoh raise that mighty man of God. Hey, this morning I want you to know, hey, when you're right in the will of God and God's got a plan for your life, even Satan can't destroy it. Can I get an amen? You say, preacher, why can't Satan destroy that plan? It's because God's got a plan for you. And he's got a plan for me this morning. But this morning I want to look at something in the text, and I want to look at why will God deliver you and I even from the backside of the desert. This morning you may feel like you're on the backside of the desert. You may feel like you're in a dry place. You may feel like you're in a desperate place, a place of doom and gloom. Friends, I got good news this morning. If you're born again, hey, you might be on the backside, but you're not alone. Amen. He says this morning, why will God do that? I want to give you four things this morning that is in the text. Look with me in verse number 24. One thing this morning why God, he won't leave you on the backside, is number one, it's cause he remembers his people. Look what he says here, and God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. God remembers his people. When we get here in verse number 2, he had heard their cry. He remembered they was his people. There's not a mama in this place. You take babies all over this place and you let a baby start crying, and that mama know their baby over any other baby. You let that baby get to crying and get to whining and wanting his mama, and you let that baby holler out in here, mama, I want you to know, hey, that mama who knows it's their baby, they're going to tune up and they're going to hear. When these Israelites, they got crying unto God, and they said, we're tired of the shape that we're in. We're tired of who we're having to look to out here. They started looking to God, and God said he remembered that covenant that he had with Abraham, he had with Isaac, and he had with Jacob. I got good news this morning. He's got a covenant with you and I this morning. He said he'd never leave us and he'd never forsake us. Hey, all you have to do this morning when you get to that place and you're on the backside of that desert is all you got to do is cry out to God. He remembers that covenant that you and I have this morning. He says that he heard their cry. But look here in verse number 23. Not only did he hear their cry, he said, and their cry came upon God by reason of their bondage, but he heard also their groaning. Not only was they crying, but in verse 24, they done got to groaning. Hey, you know it's one thing to cry and be whining about stuff, but it's whole totally different when you get to groaning. I mean, when you start groaning, there's something hurting on the inside. Hey, you done went from crying, but you went to groaning, and you needing somebody to help you. Hey, I got good news this morning. Hey, God's in the house. Amen. Hey, if you're in here this morning and you've been crying yourself to sleep at night and you've been groaning saying, Lord God, I'm out here in this desert and I don't know what to do and I don't know where to turn and I don't know who to look to, I got good news this morning. Hey, you can call to God. Amen. Hey, you may be crying yourself to sleep at night. You may be groaning and nobody knows about it. But there's a God that's made a covenant with you if you're a child of God. And he remembers you this morning. Amen. He remembers you this morning. That covenant that he's made with you and I this morning, that covenant is everlasting. It is from generation to generation. He doesn't forget the covenant that he made. Hey, this morning you may forget a lot of things. Dementia may come your way. Alzheimer may come your way and you can't remember stuff. Hey, this morning ain't you thanking God that you ain't holding on to your salvation? Hey, but he's holding on to it for you. Can I get an amen? Oh, he says this morning that he remembers his covenant with his people. But I seen something else in the text this morning when they was out there and they was killing all them baby boys and old Pharaoh was having his heyday and he was doing all that he wanted to do and he took baby Moses and he put him in that little basket and sent him down that river there. You know what happened? Hey, that Pharaoh's daughter, he came and he seen right where it was at. Hey, and not only did he remember something, I want you to know God put him in that thing so old Moses could have respect to come to his life. This morning, I don't know who God's going to use, hey, to give you what you need this morning. Hey, but he can use anybody he wants to this morning. He can turn anybody and help you this morning. He says this morning he remembered his people. But look with me in verse number 25. Not only did he remember his people and the covenant that he had, but he respected his people. Oh, ain't that good this morning? It's one thing that God remembers us. Hey, it's good that he remembers. But boy, it sure does feel good when he respects us, don't you? Hey, there's a song on 102.9 that grace ain't fair. Ain't you glad it ain't fair? Ain't you glad grace ain't fair this morning? You can mess up and grace still there. You can act like grace is there. Grace covers. Look what he says this morning in verse number 25. And God looked upon the children of Israel, or God looked upon, you could say, upon Union Chapel Baptist Church, and God had respect unto them. Tonight as we get into revival mode and we get into that place, you know what I pray God does? I pray he remembers us tonight. Amen. And I pray he shows respect down on Brother Ricky and he gives him anointing from the Holy Ghost tonight. Friends, I want you to know this church, even if we might be on the backside of the desert, I don't want to see it get dry. I don't want to see it get dead. I don't want to see cobwebs get into the baptistry. Can I get a witness this morning? Hey, that does me some good when I hear people that are being born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and by the act of obedience, they go through the baptismal waters. Friends, this morning, he said he not only does he remember his people, but he has respect to his people this morning. He said, and God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. He said he had respect unto them. Look with me, if you will, here to Exodus 3:7. And we're talking about how he has respect unto his people. And in Exodus 3:7, he said, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. This morning, if you don't think nobody knows your sorrows, if you're born again, God knows your sorrows this morning. He knows your pain, he knows your suffering, and he knows your sorrows this morning. You may feel like you're out in the desert, on the backside of the desert, and you say, preacher, you don't know how dark it is out here. You don't know how lonely it feels out here. I want you to know when Moses went to the backside of that desert, he seen God more clearly than he ever had. Amen? You'll see him when you're out there all alone. You'll see him when he's all alone. Look what he says here. I want to give you the third thing this morning. Not only does he remember his people, not only does he respect his people, but when you're on the backside of that desert and you're crying out and you need help, God will respond to his people. God will respond to his people. You know, when you call on God, he never counts up the cost. The cost had already been paid on the cross of Calvary. When they called out here and he'd already made that covenant, when they called out, he had one thing to do, and that was to go. This morning, I want you to know this church here and every member here and every church in the United States of America, if we get to the place where we cry out to God and start groaning and asking God to move amongst our people and to move amongst the congregation, you know what? God will move. He's no respecter of persons. The Bible says he's no respecter of persons. It don't matter who it is or where they're at. When they call upon him and they need help, you know what he'll do? He'll show up in a time of need. He'll show up right there in your life. You say, preacher, how do you know this? As we read here, we see where he responds to his people in verse number 2. You see that? They done got to the place, they done got crying, and by reason they done got groaning. And he said, I tell you this, he said, I'm going to send old Moses to the back side of the desert. And he sent him on to the back side of the desert. And look what he did in verse number 2. It says, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. Hey, I want you to know when we start crying out to God and he responds, number 1, the Lord will appear unto us. He will appear to us and help us in a mighty way. You know, over there in the book of Acts, chapter number 9, he said, and suddenly what happened? The Spirit of the Lord, what did it do? It came upon Saul at that time, would eventually be Paul, but it came unto him. Friends, this morning we see that the Lord appears to his people. And look what he says. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. Don't overlook this morning. Don't overlook this burning bush. When you see somebody on fire, look at them and see why they're on fire for God. You've seen people that way. That's just on fire. You can get around them. You can just feel it. It's just all over them. And you say, why are they on fire? We never stop and take time to find out why they're on fire. We just pass them on by. And we say, Lord God, I sure would like to be on fire. We never find out why they're on fire. It says this morning when he got to that place, he responded unto them. Look what Moses did here. And when the Lord saw, not only does he appear, but the Lord God, what does he do? He calls. Look what he said here. And the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see. This morning, the Lord's seeing what we're going to do. I believe that this morning, the Lord is seeing what we're going to do. Are we going to put our faith in what God can do? It's a question to the church this morning. He said, and when he seen him turn to the side to see, he said, God called. God called. This morning, when you get to the backside of the desert and there's nobody can help you but God, hey, God will show up right there on you. Show up exactly when you need it and how you need it in your life. Let me show you this in the text here. He said he responds to his people, number 1, because the Lord appears. Number 2, there he responds because God calls his people in verse number 4. And when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. Bush on fire. And it ain't burning up. It's just a Bible story. It's a biblical story. That bush is burning and it ain't burned up. He's going to turn to see what's going on and look at it. Get a little closer, if you will. This morning, I want to ask you a question. If there was a bush burning outside and you walked out of the building, what would you do? Think about it. Glance at it. Go get the preacher. Get the deacons, some fire departments. Hey, y'all got a bush out here on fire. Y'all need to get that thing put out. What about if you got real curious and you look right in there to it and all of a sudden it called you by name? I don't know about you, but that changed me, wouldn't you? Folks, the word of the Lord is like a fire. When it gets into that heart, it gets into that soul, when it gets into that mind, it'll start burning. Why does he do that? He burns so the whole world can see. The whole world can see. This morning, as a congregation, as a pastor of this church, you know what? I want this whole world to see what God's doing in your life. He's not saved you and shined you for you. He saved you and shined you for that next man to see you and to glorify him, which is in heaven. This week when we was in the parade, I put my old truck in there. And y'all knew I was going to go to this. And I buffed that thing. I waxed on that thing just as good as I could. Had some help from people to get it ready to go where it needed to be. And as I shine that thing, the more I'd shine it, the shinier it'd get. The more I love chrome. There's something about chrome, man. You hear me? I don't know what it is. The more you rub on it, the shinier it get. The more you just rub on it, the shinier it get. And every time I'd rub on it, JD, I'd rub a spot, I'd rub it, it just gets shinier. And as I rub on it, tears go down my face. And that's how God does me. The more he rubs on me, the shinier I get. This morning, I want you to know if you've been dull and you're on the backside of the desert, let God just rub on you a little bit. The more I'd rub on that spot, the shinier it get. And then I'd see another dull spot and I had to rub on it. And I'd just get to rub and I'd get to rubbing. And as I got done rubbing and I had everything done, ready to go, I went into the house. And I said, he's got to be on this project. And I got me a hat, and I turned that hat, and it had a cross on it. Placed that cross right in that windshield. And this morning, I want you to know, when you're on the backside of the desert, if you want God to rub on you, he'll rub on you one way, and that's through the cross of Calvary. When he gets rubbing on you and polishing you and making all things new in your life, there's spots on that truck, there's places that's got blemishes, and you can find them. But if you polish, let him polish and keep polishing, people won't look at the dull spot. Oh, people won't look at your flaws if you just keep letting polish. You know what they noticed? What is shining. They noticed what's shining. This morning he said we're a light and he wants us to shine. Why? When we shine for him and we let him have his way in our life, you know what? They don't see our flaws. They don't see our failures. They don't see our flaws. All they see is where he's polished in our life. This morning, I want to give you this. As we were entering revival, you make sure if you've got a spot in your life that's dull and it needs to be polished, this morning, let God polish on you. Let God polish on you. I told you that he would respond. I want to show you this. God spoke to me this week, and this may not do a lot for a lot of people, and that's okay. But I've got to show you this. And he said, look with me if you will. And he says, in verse number 5, and he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Holy ground. Y'all see that wore out shoe? Everybody look up here. Please don't let this go over your head. Please, please don't take this for granted. Daddies, don't take this for granted. Listen to me this morning. When you think something is so stupid, do it. When God tells you to do something, it is so stupid that you think, that is stupid. Why even do it? If it's about God and it seems like it's crazy, that burning bush, when he turned to look at it, man, why? Because God's trying to get his attention through the little things. It ain't the big things. You'll get a big thing, but it's the little things he's trying to push in and say, just look right here. If you'll just look at the little things, he'll make a difference in your life. As I studied this scripture, this is my daughter's cheer shoe. Thing's nasty. Woo! No, it don't stink. It don't stink. It don't stink. Does it? No, it don't stink. It don't stink. But JD ain't laughing because he knew I was fixing it. I won't do Miss Holly. No, Lord, no. That's the best part of Brother JD. I wouldn't give that in her nose. Well, Brother Hagin, y'all gonna get this. I had this little shoe. My daughter, God knows. Satan knows. Y'all know. She knows. She's a heritage from God. And he gave her to me. He gave her to me. Who am I to raise something? God gave her to me. She bought these shoes. Last Friday night, they had a ball game, and that thing got filthy. Studying the text, take off your shoes because you're on holy ground. This old shoe got filthy. Threw them in the washing machine. Light load. Washed them. She come out there and said, Daddy, I went to put my shoe on. Something was in the toe of it. It was killing my foot. So, baby, what you going to do with it now? You remember me and you put it in there? Because you wanted cheerleaders so bad? We don't take nothing for granted. We pray about all things, and all things through prayer and supplication. What you going to do with it now? Tell me what's in there, Brother Hagin. Imprint of the cross. In the sole of the shoe. Imprint of the cross in the sole of the shoe. So what you going to do? She said, Daddy, it fits perfect now right in that. How stupid it was so long ago, but how magnificent it is now. Let's put it in your shoe. Daddy ain't cool. I ain't looking to be cool. I'm looking to be a Christian. I'm not looking to be her buddy. I'm looking to be her daddy. I'm not looking to be one of the guys downtown. I'm looking to be the pastor of the church. Something God can be proud of. When that cross went right back to that, didn't you see it after service? You can come up and look at it. By the way, if you need to be at the altar and want to look at it before you get in there and pray and ask God to come in your heart, you look at it. Proof's here. That thing fits perfect. Miss Holly, you see that perfect right down there. Won't even move, won't even slide. She took that cross. She placed her soul in Christ Jesus. Something so stupid so long ago didn't mean much, preacher. But to know that you've not only placed your heart, but you've placed your soul in the cross of Calvary, the blood of Jesus Christ, makes all the difference. This is one of them calendar moments me and her will never forget, and her mama will never forget as long as we live. She'll graduate this year, and cheerleader will be over. There's a lot of has-been cheerleaders in here. Can I get a witness? Okay. I know there's a lot of has-been football players. Me and Brother Eric Crew talks it all the time. If we was playing Hale County, we wouldn't done nothing. We'd outrun us too. What's going to last, preacher? What's going to last? You know what lasted in Moses' life? The covenant God made with him. The covenant that was made. Cheerleader will be gone. It'll be gone. She'll grow up. She'll do other things. But this shoe will always be a reminder of the covenant that God's made in our life. He said, not only Kaylee, well, he'll remember you all the days of your life because you put your faith, hope, and trust in him. Kaylee, he didn't say only he'd respect you because of the covenant you made with him. Not only, Kaylee, did he say he'd respond to you when you needed him. But Kaylee, he said he'll rescue you all the days of your life. If you don't believe me, look in verse number 8. Verse number 8 of the text.
And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites.
She'll learn them. So what does that mean, preacher? It means a lot to you. It means a lot to me. This morning, if you feel like you're on the backside of the desert and ain't nothing working in your life, you're like, can revival come to me, the mess that I'm in? You're not in a mess like Moses was in. Moses done killed a man. You ain't in a mess like Moses is in. You say, well, why would God show favor on me? Because when you ask him to save you, he made a covenant with you. To never leave thee and never forsake thee. He remembers you. He respects you. He'll respond to you. And my friends, he'll rescue you. You know why he took him to the back of the desert? Verse number 2 said because it was the mountain of God. So when he got to the back side of the desert, he looked up. And there was the mountain of God. This morning, you may be in a valley and you need a mountain experience. Have you ever thought he might have put you in the backside of the desert that you might see his mountain more clearly? Then it may be more clear in your life what you need to do. This morning, when that shoe come my way, I thought, Lord God, how so little that you make so big. This morning, I want to ask you this question in closing. Have you put your soul in the hand of the Creator? Have you put your soul and nailed it to the cross of Calvary by the blood of Jesus Christ and said, my soul rests in Jesus Christ? This morning, if you have, when you get to them backwoods, backside of the desert, you can have hope that God is right there, because he's a God that will not break his covenant with you this morning. As I read that story and I thought about that in the book, he said, take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. You're on holy ground. Folks, this place that you're at, I never want to take it for granted. I truly believe every time we come in and go out, we can say that verse. Take off your shoes, for you're on holy ground. If that's you this morning and you're on the backside of the desert, you don't know why you're back there, look up. The mountain of God's right in front of you. Our Father and our God, as we bow in your presence, Lord, I love you more than anything in this world. I thank you for saving me. I thank you for delivering me from the pits of hell. Lord, this morning, I pray for the daddies that's trying to lead their children this morning. Lord, I lift them up to you. What a battle they're in. I'm in one myself. Lord, the mamas that are trying to raise up their children, they're in a battle. My wife's in one herself. Lord, the children that's trying to do what the parents tell them to do, they're in a battle. Mine is too. Lord, this morning, I do know this. When I'm on the backside of the desert, you're right there. Father, no matter where you lead me, there you are. And Lord, this morning, it's not about the bush. It's about my God. That if he can speak through a bush, he can speak through anything. And I pray this morning that you've used this illustration that's in this shoe with this cross. That whoever sows not rested in Christ Jesus this morning, that they'd apply the cross, the blood of Jesus Christ to their life this morning before it's eternally too late. Lord, for the Christian this morning that feels like they're just about done, about ready to give up and get out, I pray they look up. Their redemption is drawing nigh. Lord, when we get to that place, we can look up because our help comes from above. Bless this message this morning. And whoever's on the backside, Lord, I pray that they come to the front side this morning. No longer living under the bondage of sin and Satan, but living under the Savior. Father, I love you and I thank you. And I ask it all in Jesus' most holy, precious name. All of God's people said.